In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your power. The mind actually is the starting point to love God and to repent. That's why St. Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Sin starts in mind, also repentance starts in mind. What do I mean, sin starts in mind? Before you fall in the sin, you need to accept it first by your mind. If you do not accept it by your mind, then if you tempted by this sin, you will not fall in it. But if you accept it by your mind, then when you are tempted, there is a big chance to fall in the sin. If you go back to the story of Joseph, his mind determined not to commit this great wickedness. That's why, although there was a pressure from his master's wife, but he said, no, I cannot. If the youth did not accept in his mind the idea, for example, of trying drugs, if he said, why not? Then actually, if somebody gave him the drug, he will try it. But if in his mind said, no, I will never do it, regardless of the peer pressure, he will never do it. In the same way, repentance starts by your mind. It's a decision. You start to make it here in your mind. Satan, when he attacks us, he starts by playing with our mind. He did the same with Eve. He played with her mind. And when Satan actually deceives us and plays with our mind, then he can change our behavior and change our attitude. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way you think determines the way you behave and you act. How Satan, or what are Satan's strategies to play with our mind? Satan uses one main strategy, which is deception or deceit. In the Divine Liturgy, we say, and when he fell through the deceit of the serpent and the disobedience of your holy commandments. Also, the Church Father said, if Satan lost his power or his ability to deceive, he will be powerless. All his power lies in his ability to deceive. And in order to deceive, he lies. That's why the Lord said about Satan, he is the liar and father of every liar. Also, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it is written about Satan that he is the deceiver, al-mudil. He is the deceiver. How Satan actually deceives our mind? He lies about God. He lies about sin, and he lies about the Word of God. lying about God, he questioned the authority of God. He questioned his existence. Or he may try to persuade you that God doesn't want your best interest. He said to Eve, God knows if you eat from this tree, you will be similar to him. As if God doesn't want the best interest for you. God doesn't want you to be similar to him. And this is the reason why he told you, don't eat from this tree. And unfortunately, he made her believe that God doesn't want her best interest. As if Satan actually cares about Eve more than God. Many youth refrain from coming to the church because they believe, they were deceived to believe that the church and the relationship with God will take the fun away from their hearts, will take the entertainment and the joy away from their hearts. That's why they choose not to get close to God, not to get close to the church. Satan succeeded to deceive them and to believe that if they get close to God, they actually will lose their fun and their joy and their happiness. Satan also lies about sin. He will tell you sin will not hurt you. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, St. Paul said, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good moral. Satan will try to deceive you and will tell you, you can hang around bad company and sin will not hurt you. St. Paul said, no, do not be deceived. But company corrupts good morals. Also, Satan lies about the word of God. He casts doubt on the word of God. He makes us all the time question the word of God, its authority, whether it is said to all generations or to specific time and specific place. Satan also, about the word of God, gives many private interpretation about the scripture. That's why we have thousands of denominations using the same book, the same Bible. And if you try to understand from where all these denominations came, although we are using the same book, it is an interpretation, many, many different interpretations for the word of God. He cast doubt about the word of God, he distorted the word of God, and he denies the word of God. Also, Satan may use my flesh, the desires of the flesh, to attack my mind. St. Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. He will make the desires of the flesh actually pressure your mind to submit to these desires, to fulfill these desires. So, St. Paul said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Many times we say, do not allow Satan, you know, make you obsessed about the desires of the flesh. And the best thing is to distract the thought. If you allow the thought to attack you again and again and again and again, the desires of the flesh, you will end up actually falling in the sin. But once this law in your member start to attack your mind, you need to distract the thought immediately. If you do not distract the thought, you will end up falling in sin. Satan also may blind our minds. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who do not believe. Satan can blind our mind with many things by keeping us busy all the time. So if we are busy, we'll be blinded. We have no time actually to see ourselves or to see God. Also, he can blind our mind by materialism, like he blinded the mind of Judas. The love of silver, the love of money, blinded the mind of Judas. The beloved sin can also blind our mind. There are some sins dear to our hearts, and we don't want to give them up. And Satan uses these beloved sins to blind our mind. Ignorance can another way that Satan can use to blind our mind and to attack our mind. Another strategy that Satan uses is to attack us with spirit of depression. In Nehemiah we read, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you are joyful, when you are happy, you will be strong, you will be powerful. But if you lose this joy and you become depressed, then you will be weak. And if you are weak, Satan can attack you. So Satan starts by causing or attacking you with spirit of depression. And after you feel depressed, you feel down, then you are weak. Actually, Satan will tempt you with another sin. And he will succeed actually to make you fall in this sin. Usually, many youth who fight with some sexual sins or bad habits, they say that we feel tempted and we fall in these sins, we fall in these bad habits when we feel down. So that is actually the tactic that Satan uses. Number one, he makes the person feels down. Number two, actually, he will tempt him with sin to bring some pleasure to him. He attacked great prophets with depression. He attacked Elijah with depression. He made him believe that everybody left God. And nobody in the whole world worshiping God except him. And even the queen wanted to kill him. That's why he fled. And he felt depressed, unhappy. And the Lord told him, you are wrong. Who told you that you are the only person? There are 7,000 knees did not bow to Baal. Jonah was attacked also by a spirit of depression. When God did not burn the city, Nineveh, he was depressed and felt down. Even Satan attacked a great prophet, a great apostle, like St. Paul, with a spirit of depression and despair. But I like the way St. Paul handled it. You read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when he said, I do not want you to be ignorant of our tribulation that we faced in Asia. We were burdened beyond the measure. Even we despaired of life, we became desperate. And we had the sentence of death in our hearts. So he was depressed, hopeless, and helpless. Because the dead person is hopeless and helpless. But how St. Paul handled this? He said that we should not trust in ourselves. If I am hopeless and helpless, then I cannot trust myself. But we trust in God who raises from the dead. The only hope for the dead person is God. That's why we say he is the hope of the hopeless and he is the help of the helpless. Because God raised people from death. That we should not trust in ourselves, but we trust in God. Who delivered us from so great a death. Who also does deliver us, in whom we trust that he shall deliver us. So he used the three tense here. Delivered us, does deliver us, in whom we trust that he shall deliver us. So Satan tried to attack St. Paul with depression. But St. Paul, when he felt down, desperate, and hopeless, he was able to switch the trust to be trust in God, who is the hope of the hopeless, help of the helpless. And through this confidence in God, he was able to manage this stage of depression. Also with depression, Satan can attack us with a spirit of discouragement. He will make you feel discouraged. There is a nice story about David. When actually Amalek attacked his city, Siklag, and they took captives all the women and children. And when David and his men returned to this city, he found that the enemies took all the women and children as captives, even the two wives of David, and took all the money, all the belongings, all the possessions. So actually, his men, his friends, his army, the 300 person, start to talk about killing David. And David had no support. His men wanted to kill him. His wives and children were taken into captivity. Everything in the city was gone. But I like this verse about David. You read in 1 Samuel chapter 30. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Many times Satan attacks us with discouragement. And then actually he can take control of us. Also, in order, the abusive people, in order to abuse the victim, the first step, they isolate them. Once you isolate a person from all his support, you can actually abuse him easily. Satan used the same technique. He isolates the person, and after this, he abuses the person and tortures him. How he isolates the person? Number one, he will make conflict between the person and his spiritual father. He will make the person turn against his spiritual father. Then he will make a conflict between the person and the people in the church. So he will say, I'm not going to church anymore. I will have my personal relationship with God. Then he may turn the person against his family, especially if he's a teenager. So either he does not communicate with them or leave the house. Then he will turn him against his godly friends. He may feel they are boring, they are not fun. Then actually he may turn him against God. He may feel that God is his enemy. Every negative thing happened to me because of God. So Satan can isolate the person from God, from the church, from the spiritual father, from the family, from the godly friends. And after this, he will start abusing the person and torturing him. And these people, in most cases, they become, you know, victims to drugs or addiction or sexual immorality. So, withdrawal and isolation can be a technique from Satan to torture us. Isolation and withdrawal. Also, Satan can attack us, attack our mind with improper motives. Improper motives. Actually, before the meeting, I was speaking with Abuna how it is important for each person to analyze his own behavior and to search for the motive behind his behavior. We may analyze others. We may analyze others' behavior. But how many of us analyze his own behavior and tries to understand what is the motive behind my behavior? Many times, good behavior from outside can have a corrupted motive from inside. Maybe I'm serving in order to be praised. Maybe I am fasting, but the motive here, as I was saying, because I want to win victory over my body, but by myself, not by the grace of God. Satan actually tempted David with improper motives. As we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, that Satan stood up against Israel and stirred up David to number Israel. And when we say, what's wrong in numbering and counting the people? Actually, one time it was God's commandment to count the people. There is a whole book called the Book of Numbers, which actually show us how statistics is very, very important. The Book of Numbers is a book of statistics. So God actually asked Moses to number the people. And Satan asked David to number the people. It's the same action. But the motive is totally different. When God asked Moses to number the people in order to know his flock and to take care of each one of them, but when Satan actually stirred up David to number the people, the motive here is to trust in the number. I have big army. I have so many thousands. So actually, what a big difference between this motive and that motive. From God, the motive to care about each one. From Satan, to trust in the power of numbers. Also, Satan can attack us with a spirit of rebellion. Many times we are attacked with this spirit. I don't like anything. I come to church, I don't like. Everything is negative. Liturgy is long, I don't like the sermon, I don't like the structure, I don't like this. I go to the work, again, everything is the work going wrong. To school in the same way, in my family, same way. This spirit of rebellion can be actually one of the strategies that Satan attack our mind with. Again, once the person start to rebel, he will lose the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of thanksgiving. And as Maris Haq said, there is no gift without increase except the one without thanksgiving. So once you lose the spirit of gratitude, spirit of appreciation, spirit of thanksgiving, actually you will lose many, many blessings in your life. God became angry with Israel because of their rebellious spirit. Also, Satan may attack me with accusation and condemnation. Self-accusation. He makes me to accuse myself and condemn myself. One of his titles in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the accuser of the brethren, al-mushtaki. And Satan can make me accuse myself and condemn myself. Some of us will ask, what is the difference if this is a conviction from the Holy Spirit or accusation from Satan? Because the Holy Spirit will convict me, as the Lord said, the Holy Spirit convicts you on sin, on righteousness, and on judgment. How can I differentiate between this and that? If I feel convicted, or if I condemn myself for a sin, or accuse myself for sin, how would I know if this is from the Holy Spirit or from Satan? The Holy Spirit, when he condemns you, or not condemn, convict you, the Holy Spirit will be specific. But Satan will generalize the condemnation. Satan will tell you something. You are a great sinner. God does not love you. You are not worthy to be a Christian. You are not worthy to take communion. So, general statement. But the Holy Spirit will tell you, here is your weak point. You need to control your tongue. You need to control this desire. You need to control your anger. So the Holy Spirit actually will be specific. But Satan will speak general, in general way. Holy Spirit will encourage you to repent. So you feel with conviction, there is motivation. I need to do so and so and so to control my tongue, to control my body, to control my anger. But with the condemnation of Satan, he will make you feel hopeless. I cannot, once you say, I cannot quit smoking, I cannot quit drinking, I cannot quit, I am angry person. I don't know how to control my anger. So once you feel you cannot do it, this is from Satan, not from the Holy Spirit. That's why St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 differentiated between the godly sorrow, which is initiated by the Holy Spirit, and the sorrow of the world, which is initiated by Satan. Godly sorrow like the sorrow of Peter, but the sorrow of the world like the sorrow of Judas. Also, Satan can attack my mind with the wrong mental focus. Wrong mental focus. Instead of focusing on what's positive and counting your blessing and thanking God for all your blessing, he will attack you with the spirit of envy. What's the spirit of envy? You start looking for what you are lacking and envy other for what you are lacking. And you say, if just I have his job, I will be better. If I have his position, I will be better. If I have his service, I will be better. If I have his money, I will be better. So I start to think about what I am lacking and envy other for these things. Actually, as the American says here, the grass on the other side is greener. So I envy people for what they have and what I'm lacking. That is wrong mental focus. Wrong mental focus. So now we spoke about some strategies that Satan used to attack my mind. And as I told you, the mind is the main battlefield. Satan start attacking us with our mind, attacks our mind. Hear how sin starts. So how we respond to these attacks, or how to protect ourselves from these attacks. Number one, let the Holy Spirit search your heart and search your mind. Maybe there is a wicked way in your mind. Maybe there is a corrupted motive in your mind. And nobody can search your mind except the Holy Spirit. As we read in Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there is any wicked way in me. Search my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in way everlasting. Also, as St. Peter said, gird the loin of your mind and be watchful. Means be ready, be watchful, be sober. Don't allow Satan actually to plant tares in your mind while you are sleeping. You know the parable of the tares, the wheat and tares? Actually, the enemy, Satan, planted the tares while he was sleeping. When we are not watchful, Satan will come and plant tears in our mind. Also, use the word of God. When Satan attacked the Lord Jesus Christ, the temptation on the mountain, how the Lord responded by the word of God, it is written. And One time Satan used a verse to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. When he told him, it's written in Psalm 90, if you throw yourself, he will send his angels and they will carry you. But the Lord responded by saying, it is written also. St. Anthony the Great said, the more you read in the scripture, the more your mind will be enlightened and pure. والكثرة القراءة في الكتب المقدسة تنير العقل. The more you read in the scripture, the more your mind will be enlightened. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said, you are pure because of the words that I've spoken to you. Read the scripture. This would purify your mind. Also, ask the Lord for a sound mind and a peaceful mind. The Lord told us, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, so I too. St. Paul asked us to have the mind of Christ twice. When he spoke about how the Lord emptied himself and became man in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you also, which was in Jesus Christ. So think as the Lord thinks. Have his mind in your mind. See things from his eyes. See things from his perspective. And also he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The Pauline letter of today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So here, in order actually to respond to the attacks of Satan, you need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Any thought Satan bring to your mind, bring it to the light of Christ. Then actually this thought will not take control of you. Bring it to the obedience of Christ. When you disclose your thoughts, when you expose your thoughts to the light of Christ, actually, and you check them against the truth, the thought will lose its power and lose its strength. The thought will not control you anymore. Can you imagine if Judas exposed his thoughts and he said to Peter or John or Andrew or Philip, if he told them, here is my plan. I think God doesn't love me anymore after I betrayed him. I think there is no forgiveness for me. I decided to kill myself. I cannot take this huge guilt. I cannot live with it. I'm gonna kill myself. I'm sure if he exposed his thoughts and shared his thoughts with any of the apostles, he wouldn't end this way. Even until today, the suicidal cases succeed it's not success actually, but they have succeeded to kill themselves when they hide the thought. But once they expose the thought, they cannot actually, they don't kill themselves. Exposing the thought to the light of Christ, actually that's bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Also, St. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 told us, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. You need to think only about what's good, what's true, what is just, what's lovely, what's pure. Think only on these things. Don't think about negatives. Renew your mind, as St. Paul said. Renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In counseling, they say reframing. Reframing means put it in another frame. Look at the same thing from another perspective, from another frame of mind. That's the renewal of mind. But for us Christian, reframing means to look at things from the eyes of Christ. And I'm sure I told you before that the word metanoia, metanoia means change your mind. Meta means change, noia from the word nous, which means mind. So metanoia, repentance, means changing or renewing your mind. Don't have divided mind. Come to the unity of you, to one mind. St. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means, should I do this or I do that? And you cannot make a decision. All the time you are condemning yourself and you don't know how to make a decision. The divided mind or the double-mindedness is not from God, because God is not author of confusion. It is Satan who causes us to be confused. Since Satan come and propose his solutions when you are double-minded or confused. Also, you need to control the gates of your mind. The senses are the gates to our mind. If you control the gates, you will keep your mind pure. Usually I think about it this way. If you are going to an important place, there is high security. You cannot just walk in. They have to examine that you are safe before you walk in. But to go into a place that is not important, actually there is no security, nobody will examine you. To throw something in trash, there is no security there. So some people actually will allow others to throw trash in their mind. Songs, pictures, whatever. But if you value your mind and you know that your mind is the throne of God, you should have high security on your mind. You should not allow anybody to throw trash in your mind. That's controlling your gates, controlling the senses. So nobody can throw trash in your mind. And finally, set your minds on things above. As St. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you were raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, where Christ is sitting. to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To make your mind set on carnal things, this equals death. But to set your mind on spiritual things, this equals peace and life. As I said in the beginning, Satan starts deceiving us by playing with our minds. And we learned today about many strategies. And also we learned about counter strategies. Let's all pray and ask the Lord to protect our minds from the deception of Satan, so that, as he told us, love the Lord your God from all your mind, so we can love him indeed from all our minds. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.